What makes you afraid? You know, I think that many of us have a certain level of phobias in our that are lurking around in the corner of our lives. You know, I know that I suffer from a phobia that's called kinetophobia. Does anybody know what kinetophobia is? It's the fear of stings. I have been afraid ever since I was a little kid of being stung by flying, stinging insects. You know, even today, when a wasp or a bee starts flying around me, I have to just close my eyes and breathe deeply and pretend it's not there. And then there's my wife, Lana, who sits next to me, and she will let the wasp crawl on her finger. And I'm like, are you crazy? Get the wasp! There's lots of phobias around. So let's do a little phobia quiz, shall we? Let's start with some easy ones. You've probably heard of claustrophobia. What does that mean? It's a fear of closed spaces, right? Or I'm sure you've heard this one, arachnophobia. It's the fear of spiders, right? You see? Yeah, there we go. Now, this one is one that some of you may be suffering from. It's homilophobia. Does anybody know what it means? I'm not making this up. It's the fear of sermons. Yeah, are you suffering from that? Yeah. Well, you know, I have completed my first year of postgraduate education, and I think I have been. Oh well, thank you. And I have three to go. So, but I think I'm developing this next phobia. It's hippopotamonstra sesquicipedaliophobia. Does anybody know what that is? It's not the fear of hippopotami, it is the fear of long words. Yeah, and ironic. Well, you know, this summer, we're going through this series called Do the Ordinary, Meeting God in Everyday Spaces. And the lectionary is taking us through Mark. And as when I got to this story in Mark about Jesus calming the storm, I was trying to think, what in the world is an everyday space in this story? I mean, crying out loud, Jesus is on the water and he calms the storm. That is not an everyday occurrence, at least not in my life. But you know, as I looked at it again and looked deeper, I realized that there really is an everyday space in this story. It's a space called fear. The disciples are in the middle of this terrible storm, and they are afraid. Can you relate to the disciples? I mean, just think about it. We've talked about already that what's happened in Duluth over the last week. Did you hear the story about the little boy that got sucked into the sinkhole and dragged underground for, a half a mile? And spit? I mean, if that's not a scary thing, I don't know what is. You know, we all face storms in our lives. Different kinds, different places. So what's scaring you right now? As we look at this story of Jesus on the water, I think we can learn some things about fear. And we can learn some ways that we can overcome fear. And as I look at this story in Mark, you might want to grab your Bibles. It's Mark chapter 4, verse 35. As we look at this story, I see that there are three types of fear. The first kind of fear is the fear that comes from ignorance. Now, don't get me wrong. Ignorance has nothing to do with intelligence. Let me show you what I mean. I feel like I'm a fairly intelligent guy, but if you put me out on a boat with fishing equipment, I am an ignoramus, because I don't know anything about fishing. And, I mean, you put the worm on the hook, right? That's all you do, and you throw it in the water. I could overcome my ignorance if I learned about fishing. And so that's what I'm talking about when I mean ignorance. You see, because sometimes our fear comes from ignorance. Let's look at the story. So the disciples are out on this boat with Jesus, and the wind is thrashing the boat around. The water is coming in, trying to capsize the boat. And they look over to see Jesus. And what's Jesus doing? He's sleeping on a cushion. And they look at Jesus and listen to the words that they say. They say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" They're like, "Jesus, we're going to die." Can you relate to the disciples at this moment? I mean, I know I can. There have been times in my life when the storms around me have been so strong that I honestly look up to heaven and I say, "God, are you asleep right now? Do you not see what's happening in my life? Do you not care that I feel like I'm going to die?" I want to tell you, it's okay to say those things to God, to be honest with God when you're afraid. But I also think that we need to be open to the fact that we might not have all of the information in that moment. You see, that's what the disciples' problem was, I think. This is where their ignorance shines through. Because I don't think they really know who Jesus is yet. Because what did they call him? How did they refer to Jesus? They said, "Teacher." See, that's where most people in the world get caught in ignorance. Because, you know, if you were to poll the people in the world today about who is Jesus, I think that most people in the world have pretty warm, fuzzy feelings about Jesus. There's not a lot of true Jesus haters in the world. If you were to poll them, they would say, "Oh yeah, Jesus, he was a great teacher, and he was a great moral leader." And that's absolutely true. He was a great teacher, and he was a great moral leader, but lots of people were great teachers and great moral leaders. And what happens is that when we think of Jesus in that way, we get trapped. Because Jesus is more than that. Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And sometimes we have fear because we simply don't know who Jesus really is. Because when we haven't taken the time to really investigate who Jesus is, we can get caught into the trap and be tempted to question whether Jesus really cares about us. If we think that Jesus is just a moral teacher, then it's easy for us to say, "You don't care about me." Let me ask you this. How much time have you really spent trying to get to know Jesus? It's one thing to attend church, but it's an entirely different thing to investigate the Gospels, to be in a Bible study or a small group, or to read books about who Jesus really is and who Jesus claimed to be. You see, I think that much of our fear can be calmed if we just get more information. More information about the situation, but more information about who Jesus is, and to know Jesus in a deeper way. So that's the first kind of fear. Now there's a second kind of fear that I see in this story. The second kind of fear comes from a challenge. Let's look at the story again. Jesus is in the boat. At the beginning of the story, Jesus says to his disciples, "Hey guys, let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side of the lake." See, what's going on around this story is everything up to this point in the story, Jesus has been doing his work on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. You can see a map up here. On the west side of the Sea of Galilee is where all the Jews live. He's been doing his work with his people. And like Pastor Carey told us last week, Jesus was talking about how the kingdom of God is like this crazy weed that grows out of control and crosses boundaries and into other people's fields. Well, Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, "Okay, now let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side of the lake." Woo-hoo! Time out, Jesus. Hey, do you know who lives on the other side of the lake? That's called the Decapolis. And the people who live there are Gentiles. They're the non-Jewish people. Jesus, we don't do non-Jewish people. We don't do that. That's a scary place. You know what I love about this story is that the very next thing, the place where they land on the other side of the lake, you know who's there? It's a naked dude full of demons hanging out in a cemetery. Now, if that's not the scary other, I don't know what is. You see, following Jesus, when you follow Jesus, he asks you to do scary things. He asks you to go to the other side. It baffles my mind when people think, when people say things like that being a Christian is for the weak-minded and that it's just a crutch. I mean, if religion was just showing up to church, you know, and singing songs and getting your bread and juice and going home and hoping to go to heaven when you die, then maybe that could be, I could see that as being a crutch. But that's not what Jesus is all about. Following Jesus is about doing scary things. Jesus calls us to go to the other side and meet scary people. Jesus says, "You see that guy over there? I love that guy." And when we look at that guy, we say, "Jesus, I don't like the way that guy looks. I don't like the way that guy smells. I don't like the things that that guy does. And that guy scares me." And Jesus says, "Get in the boat and let's go to the other side." That's a stormy ride. I got to be honest with you. Following Jesus often scares me. Just this week, we were sitting in leadership team talking about our church, our congregation, and how we are striving to become more of a missional congregation more and more each year as we reach out into the community. And the truth is, this is me talking. That freaks me out. Because my natural default mode is I want to play it safe. I like to play it safe, you know? You roll the dice, you move the mice, nobody gets hurt. It's just, let's just do this. But Jesus says, "Get in the boat and let's cross over to the other side." Jesus never promised that there wouldn't be storms. He just promised that he would take us through the storms. It's perfectly normal to experience fear when you follow Jesus. Now, that leads us to the third kind of fear that I find in this story. Let's look at what Jesus does in this story. Right? The wind is crashing around and the waves are coming into the boat. And they wake Jesus up from his nap, and he wakes up, "What's going on, guys?" And they're like, "Jesus, teacher, don't you care?" And I love this part of the story, because you got to remember that wind and waves back in the ancient world, they weren't just these non-personal physical forces of nature. They were gods. They were spiritual forces. And look what Jesus says. He looks at the wind first, and he rebukes the wind. Now, that's the exact same word used for when he cast out demons. He rebuked them, and they left. And then, this is my favorite part, he speaks to the sea god, right? And the translation says, "Peace be still," but here's what the literal Greek is. He looks the sea god in the eye, and he goes, "Silence! Put a muzzle on it." Isn't that great? Here, Jesus stands up to the sea god and he says, "Muzzle it, wave boy." And he does. The Greek says, "There came a great calm." Here, the sea god stands to attention when Jesus speaks to him. Now, if you were a disciple in that boat, what would you be thinking at that moment? I would be freaking out. Who is this guy? See, the third kind of fear is the fear that comes when you stand in the presence of God. It's just like Pastor Mark told us a couple weeks ago in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah came into the presence of the Almighty, he was undone. You see, Jesus isn't just a good teacher. Jesus is the Word of God that created the wind and the waves. And this God who can create and destroy is a God who willfully gave himself for us and loves us and forgives us. He does care for us deeply. One of the greatest ways to overcome fear is to realize that this Almighty God has freely given us love and forgiveness. John reminds us of this in 1 John 4:18. Listen to these words. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. See, too often I think we're tempted to take God's grace for granted and to forget this truth. And we start thinking that it's up to us to stand against the wind and the waves. And we forget about who Jesus is. And when we think it's up to us, we are tempted to say, "Teacher, don't you care that I'm going to die?" But when we allow ourselves to remember that the Almighty God loves us so much that he gave his own life, that he looks at the sea and he says, "Put a muzzle on it," that sends shivers down my spine. In a holy fear and an awe. So what do you fear today? What is your phobia? Can you give it to God and have him put a muzzle on it? Let's stand together and pray, shall we? Well, Father, we thank you that even in the midst of storms that we don't understand, that we can know that you are God and that you will calm the storms in our life. Help us to have that faith. In Jesus' name, amen.